Daf Chaf Aleph on base, halfway down the arm. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mevorech Lifneim Ula Achareim. So this is referring back to our Mishnah. The Mishnah was talking about a Baal Keri, somebody who has become Tomei, and Chazal said that he should not be involved in saying Dvorem Shebekedusha. We said it's not an Issa Doiraisa to do so. It is a Takana Midrabonon, and therefore they only enacted so in places of Drabonon. But when it came to Brikas Hamozen and Kriya Shema, then they said that he can say them, or at least think the words, even if he's Tomei. So now, with regard to brochas, we made a distinction between the first brocha and the after brocha. What was the distinction? The after brocha, which we call benching, is doiraisa. And the first brocha is midrabbanan. So if you remember, the first opinion of the Mishnah was a Baal Keri should not say the first brocha, but he should say the after brocha. And the final analysis was, because one is derabbanan, therefore that is waived, and the after brocha benching is deraisa, so it's not waived. So what we're going to discuss now is the second opinion, is Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mevorech Lifneim Ula Achareim. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, and he says that the Baal Keri makes a brocha not only afterwards, but even before. So obviously the chiddush over here is not the brocha la'achareihem, the chiddush is the brocha lifneihem. He is making a first brocha, even though first brochas are derabbanan. Says the Gemara, lameimra, does this mean to say the kosova Rabbi Yehuda, Baal Keri, Mutar, B'divrei Torah, ? So does this mean to say, it would seem, that Rabbi Yehuda completely disagrees with the whole principle that we've discussed so far, and he seems to maintain that a Baal Keri is allowed to say Divrei Torah, meaning any Dovar Shebekedusha. If he would hold that you're not allowed to say a Dvar Shebekedusha, then why is he allowing you to make the first brocha? Why is he disagreeing with the Tanakhama? So it would seem to be that clearly he disagrees, and apparently he holds, that's what it means, Lameimra, does this mean to say that he holds that Chazal never outlawed a Baal Keri from saying Dvarim Shebekedusha? That's what it would seem to be. V'ha'oma, as we know, that's always a loshon of a question. V'ha'oma, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. However, we have a problem. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Minayin lebal keri she'osur b'divrei Torah. How do we know that a bal keri, somebody who is Tomei, cannot say divrei Torah? She'ne'mar, because there is a posuk in Parsha's voice, Chanan, which says as follows, V'hoidatem levonecho v'levnei bonecho. And you should inform them, meaning Torah and mitzvahs, to your children and your children's children. V'somach lei, and juxtapositioned over there, v'somach, from the word somach, close, juxtapositioned to that pasuk is, Yoim Asher Omadato, the day that you stood where? You stood at Sinai. So there is a juxtapositioning. On the one hand, the Torah says, you shall teach your children Torah, but it refers you back to the day that you stood at Har Sinai and you received the Torah. So what do we learn from that? Says the Gemara, Ma Lahalom, Bale Kerion Asurin, Afkam Bale Kerion Asurim? We know that at Matan Torah, nobody was tummy. They were told they have to separate from their wives 3 days in advance of Matan Torah. So nobody was a Baal Keri. Nobody came to Har Sinai in a state of Tumah. And if the Torah is juxtapositioning these two psukim, what is it telling us? Teach your children Torah, sentence number one. Sentence number two, like the day that you stood at Sinai. What does that mean, like the day you stood at Sinai? Just like when you stood at Sinai, nobody was a Baal Keri, so too when you teach your children Torah, nobody should be a Baal Keri. Which is another way of saying what? When you learn Torah, make sure that you are not a Baal Keri. So, in which case, we do not understand the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda holds that you're allowed to say brachas, dvorim shebikedusha, even the first bracha. It would seem to imply, therefore, he holds that even somebody who is Tomei is allowed to say divrei Torah. And yet here we have this drasha that the juxtapositioning of the two psukim of Limud Torah and Matan Torah teaches us that Limud Torah has to be done just like Matan Torah. And just like Matan Torah, nobody was a Baal Keri, so to Limud Torah, nobody should be a Baal Keri. So how can you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a Baal Keri is allowed to say divrei Torah? So let's see that again. From the first word on the line. V'ha'omar Rabbi Shua ben Levi, didn't Rabbi Shua ben Levi teach us minayin l'Baal Keri sha'asa b'divrei Torah? How do I know that a Baal Keri is also a b'divrei Torah? Sh'nema, because it is written. V'ha'idatam l'vonecha v'livnei vonecha, you shall inform them, meaning divrei Torah, to your children and grandchildren. The Somech Leh, and there is a juxtapositioning of Yoim Asher Omadato, the day that you stood at Sinai. And we learn from that smichus, from that juxtapositioning, Ma Lahalon, just like over there, Matan Torah, Bale Kerion, whoever was a Baal Keri, Osa, was forbidden to attend. Afkan, so too over here, with regard to teaching Torah, Bale Kerion, Asurim. So you see that a Baal Keri is also to learn Torah. So how can Rabbi Yehuda say otherwise? How can Rabbi Yehuda allow the Baal Keri to make that first bracha? Seemingly he holds that a Baal Keri is allowed to say Dvar Torah, and yet here we have a drosha based on the juxtapositioning that teaches us that a Baal Keri cannot say a Dvar Torah. That is the contradiction. Says the Gemara, V'chi Tema, V'chi Tema, and you might say, Rabbi Yehuda Loi Doresh Smuchim. What does that mean, Rabbi Yehuda Loi Doresh Smuchim? As we know, we have several forms of droshas. In the normal case, a drosha is based on an extra word or an extra letter. Here, there are no extra words at all. So what is the basis for the drosha? The smuchim. Smuchim means merely the juxtapositioning of two psukim. On the one hand, it says, you teach Torah. On the other hand, it says, like Matan Torah. Based on that juxtapositioning, we said, right, just like Matan Torah can't be done the Tumah, so too Limud Torah. Maybe Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of Smuchim. Maybe as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, you cannot make a drasha unless there's an extra word or an extra letter, a spare word, which is redundant, so you make a drasha. But merely because two psukim happen to be juxtapositioned next to each other, maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds, that's not basis to make a drasha. So therefore, it's all fine and well Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi extrapolated from the Smuchim that a Baal Keri can't say Dibrei Torah. As far as we're concerned, maybe Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda holds that there is no such thing called a drosha from Smuchim. Therefore, this whole drosha is a non-starter. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda indeed holds that a Baal Keri is allowed to say a Dvar Torah. So everything will be just fine and well. Everything is good. And if you're going to tell me that maybe Rabbi Yehuda loy dorish smuchim, maybe you could answer the question by saying Rabbi Yehuda simply doesn't hold of smuchim. Therefore, there is no drosha as far as he's concerned. Says the Gemara, no, I'm sorry to tell you, that's not a satisfactory answer. The question still remains, why? V'ha'omar Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef says, Afilu man deloy dorish smuchim b'chol ha-toirah, comma, but b'mishnah toirah dorish smuchim b'mishnah toirah dorish. Rabbi Yosef teaches us a tremendous rule. It's true. There are some opinions that hold that we do not make a drasha based on smuchim. And believe it or not, as we're about to see in the next line, that is indeed Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda holds that we don't darshan smuchim. However, there is a very big qualification. And that is that Rabbi Yosef taught us, even if you hold that smuchim is not a basis for a drasha, but in Mishnah Torah, what's in Mishnah Torah? That's the last chumash in Devarim, there, everybody agrees that you do make a drosha of smuchim. Why the sefer of Devarim should be different to other chumashim is a discussion, but it is. Says Rabbi Yosef, in sefer Devarim, everybody in the world holds of smuchim. Everybody. There's nobody who disagrees, even if you normally disagree, but not in the case of sefer Devarim. And let's not forget, the smuchim that we're dealing with, which chumash is it in? It's in Devarim, it's in Parshas Vayeschanan. In which case, these are one of these gemaras that at every line you've got to work out, are we good or are we not good? At this stage, are we good or are we not good? We're in trouble, we're not good. Because everybody holds of smuchim, at least in Chumash Devarim, Rabbi Yehuda included, as the Gemara is about to prove in the next line, in which case Rabbi Yehuda also has to agree to the drasha of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, smuchim in Parshas Vayeschanan, that teaches us that a Baal Keri can't learn Torah, in which case we're back with the question, so why did Rabbi Yehuda allow the Baal Keri to say the bracha? That's the question. If you wouldn't hold of smuchim, it would be fine. But he must hold of smuchim, because Rabbi Yosef told us that even if you don't hold of smuchim, when it comes to the rest of the Torah, but certainly when it comes to Sefer Devarim, everybody holds of smuchim. And now the Gemara explains this further. First word on the line, V'ha'omer Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef taught us that afilu man deloy dorish smuchim b'chol ha-toirah, comma, even if you don't hold of the drosha of smuchim in the whole Torah, but b'mishnah Torah, what does Mishnah Torah mean? It means Devarim. Why does Mishnah Torah mean Devarim? Because Mishnah means to repeat. Mishnah is like from the word sheni. Sheni is the second, so repeat it. So in Mishnah Torah, in the repeat of the Torah, which is Sefer Devarim, Dorish, then everybody holds of Smuchim. Says Rashi, have a look quickly in Rashi, towards the top of the Omud, B'Mishnah Torah Dorish, V'Haikra, and this pasuk, the one that we're dealing with, B'Mishnah Torah Hu Ne'mar, indeed is written in Mishnah Torah, in Parshas, Vo'eschanan. So l'chayra, there's no escape. look back into the Gemara now, and the Gemara will prove this, that there is a differentiation between the whole Torah and Sefer Devarim. First word on the line. Daha Rabbi Yehuda loy dorish smuchin b'chol ha-Toyra kula, comma. Because Rabbi Yehuda himself, indeed, we have evidence, we're going to explain all of this. We have evidence that Rabbi Yehuda himself does not hold of smuchin, at least b'chol ha-Toyra kula. And yet, uba mishnah Toyra dorish, comma. And yet he does hold of smuchin in Mishnah Torah. And that just proves the point that what? That even if you hold, even if you don't hold of smuchin b'chol ha-Torah kula, that you do in Sefer Devarim. Now, how do we know that's the case? Who told us that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of smuchin b'chol ha-Torah kula? And who told us that he does hold of it in Sefer Devarim? Says the Gemara. Ubachol ha-Toyra kula, in all of the Torah, meaning Bereshis, Shemois, Vayikra, and Bamidbar, minalam delay darish, question mark, how do we know that Rabbi Yehuda does not normally hold of smuchin? You're trying to prove a point to me, and you're telling me that he doesn't normally hold of smuchin, but in Mishnah Torah he does. So you've just told me two things. B'chol ha-Toyra kula, there is no smuchin. In Sefer Devarim, there is. How do I know the B'chol ha-Toyra kula, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of smuchin? D'tanya, because we have a braisa. Now, Rabbi say, this Gemara is not hard Gemara. It's just stage by stage, you've just got to be aware of where we up to in the Cheshbon. So where are we up to in the Cheshbon? Like I always say, are we good or are we not good? We're trying to prove that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of smuchin b'chol ha-Toyra kula. He does, however, hold of smuchin in Sefer Devarim, which means that the original drosh of Rabbi Shua ben Levi, which is in Sefer Devarim, Rabbi Yehuda must hold of as well, which means in turn that he must agree that a Baal Keri cannot say a Dvar Torah, which means in turn that we are in trouble. Because why did Rabbi Yehuda say that a Baal Keri can say a Brocha? That's the Cheshbon. It's very simple, but it's not so simple if we don't have the stages clear in our head. So we're now going to prove, this is all in order to back up the question. We're not answering the question yet. We're trying to back up the question. We're trying to strengthen the question. We're trying to prove that Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of smuchin b'chol ha-Toyra, but he does hold of smuchin in Devarim. So let's go slowly. The last word on the line. U'b'chol ha-Toyra kula minolon d'loy dorish, question mark. How do you know that b'chol ha-Toyra kula, Rabbi Yehuda does not hold of smuchin d'tani? Because we have a braisa. We have a braisa. Ben Azai Oimer, as I always ask my children, who was Ben Azai's father? The answer is Azai. Ben Azai Oimer, the son of Azai, said the following. Ne'emar, there is a pasuk that says, Machshefa loy sechayim. Machshefa, as we know, is a woman who gets involved in forbidden forms of magic. And she is chayiv.
There was a man in Los Angeles who was an altabacher, and he went out a lot before he found his wife. And he once went on a date, and he came afterwards and he said, and I was wondering if I had to kill her because it says, Mechashefa lo sechaya. He didn't wind up marrying her, no.
He did not wind up, I'm not surprised.
No.
Somebody who is involved in forbidden activities of sorcery and witchery and magic, cannot live. But it doesn't tell us how we have to put her to death. And it is also written in close proximity, so this is smuchin, Kol Sheikhev in Behema Mois Yumos. Anybody who has relations with an animal has to be put to death. So we have a juxtapositioning between the Machashefa and the Sheikhev in Behema. Somchu Inyan, the matter has been juxtapositioned, Somchu Inyan Loi. It has been juxtapositioned to the other, Loi Ma, to teach us. Ma Sheikhev in Behema Beskila. Just like somebody who has relations with an animal gets skila, Rashi will fill us in a moment how we know that's true, but it is true. Just like a sheikhev in behema is chayev skila, af machsheifa nami beskila. So even though it doesn't say clearly in the Torah which particular death punishment, which particular death sentence the machsheifa receives, but based on smuchim, we do know. It's written in close proximity to sheikhev in behema. Sheikhev in behema is chayev skila, so the machsheifa is also chayev skila. This is the opinion of Ben Azai. Now we're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees, but before we see Rabbi Yehuda, let's quickly have a look at Rashi. Do you have the Rashi? Machsheifa loy sechaya, which literally means a witch should not live, but it doesn't tell us how we put her to death. Veloy pirish, the Torah does not explain. Be'ezoy misa tamos, it doesn't say with which particular misa she should die. But v'nemar etzloy, it is however written next to it, kol sheikhev im behema mois yumos, quote unquote. Right next to the pasuk of machsheifa, it says anybody who's a sheikhev im behema must be put to death. Somchu inyan loy, these are juxtapositioned. Somachtoi parashas machsheifa, there is a juxtapositioning of the parasha of machsheifa. Loy sechaya, quote unquote, to le sheikhev im behema. These two parashios are written in close proximity to teach you that just like a sheikhev im behema dies with skila, how do we know that to be the case, says Rashi, ma sheikhev im behema beskila kedomrinon, as we explain in Sanhedrin Perek Dalad Misais begzeira shava. That happens to be learned from a gzeira shava, the taharoigu, the hocha, because it says over here, taharoigu, mechisoruk tahargenu, the mesis. What's a mesis? A mesis is somebody who causes somebody else to be over the avodah zarah. So we learn the sheikhev in behema from the mesis, because in both of them it's written the word horoig or hariga. So be that as it may, we happen to have information, a drosha, a gzeira shava, that a sheikhev in behema is chayev skila. So one and one equals two. If the machasheifa is juxtapositioned to sheikhev in behema, and sheikhev in behema we happen to know is chayev skila from some other drosha elsewhere, so therefore, the inescapable conclusion is that, says Rashi in conclusion, af mechashef beskila. The two are juxtapositioned, and if the sheikhev in behema is chayev skila, the machshefa is also chayev skila. This is the opinion of Ben Azai. So obviously, Ben Azai's opinion is based on one word, and that is smuchim.
Isn't it in English? It's called a syllogism. If A equals B and B equals C, then A equals C, something like that.
Well, I'm happy to call it a syllogism.
I think that's what it's
called. Not quite sure what that means. I remember when I was a kid, I once went to a shir from a rav who was very well spoken, and he said Isaac Newton was a rather perspicacious gentleman. And we all gave him this blank look. And he said, if you want to know what perspicacious means, it means people who know what perspicacious means. Either way. So this is Ben Azai's drosha. So Ben Azai clearly holds of smuchim. Ben Azai has said to you, has taught us, that there is a juxtapositioning of machshefo and sheichiv in behemo. Sheichiv in behemo is skila. There is a juxtapositioning, so machshefo is also skila. Now, what does Rabbi Yehuda hold on that? Remember, that smuchim is not in Mishnah Torah. It's in Sefer Shemois, Pashas Mishpatim. Says the Gemara, look back into the Gemara. The last two words of the last narrow line, Oma Le Rabbi Yehuda, says Rabbi Yehuda, V'chi mipnei shesomchu inyan loy, noitzi lezeh leskila question mark, exclamation mark. Merely because the two happen to be juxtapositioned, is that a reason for us to take her out and give her skila? Which, of course, is another way of saying what? That I don't hold of smuchim. I have no objection to giving her skila. But what's the basis? Merely because there's a drosha of smuchim. Is that a reason why she should be chayef skila? It can't be. Why can't it be? In other words, I don't hold of smuchim. Skila, by the way, in the hierarchy of punishments, is the most chomor misa. So in order to be mechayef somebody's skila, you have to have a very solid drasha. You can't just randomly give somebody skila. Says Rabbi Yehuda, I'm sorry to tell you, we cannot give somebody skila just because of smuchim. Look at Rashi. Omalei Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi mepnei shesomcho inyan, l'sheichev in behema, noitzi ze hamachashev l'skila, shehi chamura. Which is the most heavyweight mikol misos shabatayra? It can't be. Elo mikra mafurash yeshloi b'mokay acher. Says Rabbi Yehuda, I agree with your halacha, but not with your source. I happen to have another pasuk elsewhere that teaches us shehu b'skila. It teaches us that she gets skila, but not based on smuchim. I don't hold of smuchim. Okay, so what is your drosha? So look back into the Gemara on the first wide line. Elo oiv v'yedoini. Now what's an oiv v'yedoini? So if you're looking for fancy words, I think that's translated in English as a necromancy. Basically, it's a type of magic in which you raise up the spirit of the dead, which is awesome in our Torah. And it's mentioned in the Torah. Now, we have a rule, Rabbi said, this is, again, it's not complicated, but we're just going off on a lot of tangents, so we have to keep the cheshbon. We have a rule. If the Torah issues us a general klal, then we have every right to assume that everything is included in that klal. And there's no need, for example, therefore, to start going into details. So if I say to you, Reb Nachum, you can come into my house and take any food you like from the fridge. For example, apples. Why would I need to say that? Once I said you could take any food from the fridge, and that's a klal, everything's included. So why am I saying apples? So the minute I mentioned apples, clearly what am I here to do? I'm here obviously to add something that I wouldn't have otherwise have known. This is a classic case in point. Machashefa is the general term for all types of magic or wizardry. So why would the Torah then have to make specific mention of Oiv V'yedoni? Oy v'yidoni is just another form of magic. It is a form of magic. It's under the umbrella of magic. So why does the Torah have to make mention of it? Says the Gemara, Elo oiv v'yidoni b'chalal kol hamachashafim. Oy v'yidoni is included in the general title of magic. Which begs the obvious question, v'lomo yotsu. So why did it go out? Meaning, why was it singled out? It was included. This is like the apple, the green apple. Why am I mentioning the apple when I've just said you could take any food? The answer is, lahakish lohen, to make the following hekesh, v'loim alocho, and to teach you, ma oiv v'yidoini b'skila, af machshefo b'skila. An oiv v'yidoini, the Torah writes elsewhere, clearly dies b'skila. So now we have a hekesh. This is not smuchin, this is a hekesh. If oiv v'yidoini was seemingly unnecessarily singled out, so clearly it was done for a purpose. What's the purpose? To make the following drasha. Just like the oiv v'yidoini gets skila, so too the machshefa gets skila. So now let's sum up. Does Rabbi Yehuda agree to Ben Azai that the machshefa gets skila? And the answer is absolutely yes. He disagrees, however, with the source. According to Ben Azai, the source is smuchim, and Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't go for smuchim. I need there to be an extra word in the pasuk to make the drasha. I found the extra word. What is the extra word? Oiv v'yidoini. Why was that singled out? To tell me that just like the oiv v'yidoini gets skila, so too machshefa gets skila. So far, Abayisai, we have half of our equation proven. We're trying to look for proof that Rabbi Yehuda generally does not hold of smuchin. We're also trying to look for proof that in Mishnah Torah he does hold of smuchin. So far we have proved point A. It's quite clear that b'chol ha-Torah kula, maybe excluding Devarim, he does not hold of smuchin. How do I know? Because as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the only way we know the machshefa gets skila is not because of smuchim, but rather because of the drosha oiv v'yidoini. Look at Rashi.
Can we learn out both from here? Because it's also in Devarim. So you can say the machshefa.
No, machshefa is not in Devarim. Machshefa is in Sefer Shemos.
Oh, okay.
So far, all in Shemos. Says Rashi, Oy v'yidoini bechlal loisachaya de kol hamachshafim hayu. The oy v'yidoini was included in the prohibition of machshefa. V'lomo yotsu b'fnei atzmon. So why was it singled out by itself? K'shehifrisham l'skila. When it was mentioned with regard to skila, kedeksivas, it says quite clearly in the Torah, be'even yirgumu oisom d'mehem bom, quote unquote. So why was that mentioned? There it is, lahakish alehem, to compare to them, es kol haklal, the whole klal of magicians, all of them. Shazu mido b'Torah. This is one of the midos in the Torah, shekol dova shehu b'chlal. Anything that was initially mentioned in a general rule, the yotza min haklal, and then left and has got special individual mention, lelamed, in order to teach us something, loy lelamed al atzmo yotza. It's not just merely teaching us something about itself, elo lelamed al haklal kuloy yotza. It left the klal in order to teach us something about the entire klal. So the oiv v'yidoini was essentially included in the klal. By getting special mention, it's now left the klal in order to teach us something about the klal. And what is that? Just like oiv v'yidoini gets skila, so too the entire klal. So far, everybody agrees that a machshefa gets skila. Ben Azai says it's because of smuchim. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not because of smuchim.